This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The third quarter. Second and five. Dickerson again. And Dickerson comes. Good night. Somebody's going to have to really run. And it's going to be Darryl Green from behind. Dickerson down at the 15. I didn't think catch him when he came out of the pack like that.
I'll tell you, except Darryl Green. Darryl Green is the fastest guy in the NFL, and he proved it there. That was a great race. That was like watching a 100-yard dash in the Olympics or something. Watch here. Dickerson breaks through. He's out in the open. There's no one there. Watch 28 from behind. That is a great football play.
Yeah, it was. Another one of those signature memorable plays by Darryl Green, whose jersey will be retired Sunday at Northwest Stadium out in Landover. Eric Dickerson was not a guy that got caught in the mid-1980s. He had a 10-yard start on Darryl Green. That was in a playoff game. That was a wild card playoff game. They only had one in each conference. December 28th, 1986, Washington won the game 19-7. Dickerson ran for 65 yards on that play, but got run down by Darryl Green. Two memorable running down fast runners. The Tony Dorsett play, which we've already played, that was his first game as a rookie in 1983, and then that play in a wild card round playoff game against the Rams, a game Washington won 19-7. Darryl Green, just amazing. And saw him a couple days ago. I think it was a video that was tweeted out maybe by Chick on Channel 9. He doesn't look any different than he did when he was playing. He looks great. Congrats to him. One more play, I think, on the plays that we put together. It was another memorable play. You'll hear that this hour. All right, let's go around the NFL.
All right, Kevin, we got a lot of games this week. A couple really good matchups. We'll go quickly around most of these. We'll start with the early ones. A London matchup. You got the Patriots of 1-5 against the Jaguars, who are also 1-5. Congratulations to London. You get the two worst teams in the NFL.
This is the worst London game in it seems like, in a few years.
A long, horrible long time. Game. Jacksonville is a 6-point favorite, though.
I guess for the people that, you know, wanted Drake May, and there were a lot of you out there that really would have preferred Drake May, you get a chance to see him in his second start against Jacksonville. I think he played pretty well last week in his first start, didn't he?
He threw a big touchdown pass. I think it was the longest touchdown pass in terms of air yards that New England has had in quite some time.
Wow. Jacksonville. Look, the AFC is kind of there for anybody to get hot. I don't think it's going to be them because they're terrible on defense in particular, and they just seem to be a little bit dysfunctional offensively. They've had moments offensively, but not enough of them. The whole Trevor Lawrence thing is interesting. By the way, they could be sellers. You know, Christian Kirk could be available for teams that are looking for a number two receiver. But that is a terrible London game. But guess what, Denton? People are going to watch it anyway. They will be watching that game. How many more international games do we have after this Sunday?
We have a few more, I believe. I don't know.
Do we have a Germany game?
Yeah, there should be a Germany one coming up here in a couple of weeks. It might be in the there's one in November. It's Panthers Giants, which I mean, that could also be another really bad one. That's coming up in a couple of weeks, and that might be the last international game.
Wasn't last year's Germany game the Chiefs-Dolphins game, which was just so good?
Yeah, last year Germany got a real treat. But yeah, that's the final one, that Panthers-Giants one. So congratulations to the Germans.
Yeah. All right. What else do we have at 1 o'clock?
At the 1 o'clock, we got a nice matchup to start things off. We got the Seahawks and the Falcons. Atlanta's a 3-point favorite. They've looked really, really good. Kirk's got on a bit of a roll, and Seattle is in a bit of a tailspin, if you will. Who you like in this one?
Well, this line's a bit short, to be honest with you. Atlanta's a field goal favorite over the Seahawks. I think Seattle's very capable offensively. They just haven't been healthy in a lot of spots, on defense in particular. You know, they started off 3-0. You pointed out the other day, and it's true, they beat the Broncos, Patriots, and Dolphins without Tua. Although the Broncos win doesn't look that bad right now, but they lost to the Lions, the Giants, and the 49ers in their last three games. You know, that Giant loss will sting a bit, but they got outplayed in that game. It was a short week. You know, they played that Monday night game against the Lions, and they were right there with the Lions. This is a big spot for Seattle. Atlanta's been rolling. Atlanta offensively is so versatile. They can run the football down your throat, or they can throw for a lot of yards. They've got some talent offensively. They're not very good defensively. So this is one of those games where, you know, the possession count, you know, is going to be big. This should be a high-scoring game. If you don't score, or if you give up a possession, you know, through penalties or through turnovers, that could be the difference in the game. I think this is a really tight game. It might be a game that I have in the smell test. Atlanta, Seattle really needs it, because if they're going to, you know, keep pace in the NFC West with the 49ers playing the Chiefs, I mean, they could be back in first place at the end of the day with a win and a San Francisco loss at home to the Chiefs. You're not high on Seattle at all. Correct. I'm high on their talent. I think they've got a lot of playmakers offensively. I think Geno's more than good enough. They just have to get healthy if they're going to, you know, make a run, you know, for a division or a wild card. I would not predict them to win the NFC West. I certainly think the 49ers are the much better team, but I think this will be a very competitive game Sunday.
Yeah, maybe a little too early to, because you say keep pace in the NFC West, but it also, you might have to start thinking about keeping pace in the wild card because of the strength of the NFC North. I do like the Falcons in this one. As far as the line goes, it could be short. I mean, their kickers had a couple of game-winning kicks, so it could be something similar to that. But I do like the Falcons to jump to 5-2. How about the Titans? The Titans and the Bills. This, I think, is the largest line of the weekend. The Bills are 8.5-point favorites over the Tennessee Titans.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Biggest line, 9-point line. Titans are good on defense. They are. They're terrible at quarterback. Will Levis he's not going to be one of those guys, I think, in 5-6 years when he's 29, 30. We're like, see, there was always something to Will Levis. He just had to hang in there and get in the right spot. I don't see it at all with him. I didn't see it with him when he was at Kentucky. But they are a good defensive team, and the Bills are coming off, you know, an emotional win on Monday Night Football. Short week. Will Amari Cooper be ready for this or not?
I think he might give it a go. Yeah. I haven't seen anything suggesting otherwise, but I also haven't looked.
Would not surprise me at all if this is a more competitive game, but I certainly think the Bills prevail.
Yeah, I'm going to think the Bills prevail as well, and I hope we get a couple of good Will Levis memes. How about the Bengals and the Browns? This should be a fun one. The Bengals 5.5-point favorites. I say a fun one, though, because Joe Burrow in his career has not played very well against Cleveland. Now, we know Cleveland stinks, but this is one that the Bengals, they have to have. 2-5, that might be too far of a hole to climb out of in terms of getting back to the postseason.
They have to win these games. I mean, the Cincinnati schedule sets up where they can get to 8, you know, 7-8 late in the season and have a shot. You know, the AFC is still open for these 2-4 football teams, and the two that really stick out are Cincinnati and the Jets. But you can't go to Cleveland and lose to a team that cannot score, you know, that struggles to score. Last week, their only touchdown came on a blocked field goal by Myles Garrett and a return for a score. So I think Cincinnati goes into Cleveland and wins. I think these division games are always hard. They're very familiar. And Cleveland defensively is a good football team. And let me just mention this. The Bengals were in a game Sunday night that was very, very physical. And they looked completely drained at the end of that game. The Giants are nasty defensively. Burrow had a 50-yard touchdown run early in that game and then took a pounding the rest of the game. They couldn't score until the very end of the game when they were running the clock out the rest of the way. You know I'm a big Chase Brown fan going back to Illinois. He's really emerged now as their lead back, more so than Zach Moss. But Cleveland's not easy to run the football against. Division game, wouldn't be at all surprised to see Cincinnati win but not cover.
Two massive games later in this window, the first of which is the Texans going on the road to Green Bay. Green Bay a 2.5-point favorite. The Texans are 5-1. It's a matchup of two quarterbacks that are going to be the face of the next generation, potentially, with C.J. Stroud and Jordan Love. Now that Jordan Love is healthy, he played awesome last week. This one, I don't love that Washington's playing at 4:05, but if you get to watch a little bit of this one, I think it might be worth it.
Yeah, I mean, there are 2 1 o'clock games that are massive games. This is one of them. I like the Packers. I think the Packers right now are the most complete team in the division. I think Detroit's the best offensive team. Minnesota's the best defensive team, but Green Bay's the best combined offense-defense. They've got 17 takeaways on the season. They lead the league. They are making it easy for their offense. And we'll see what Houston looks like without Nico Collins. You know, I think they've got some other players down in this one. I think they've got 3 or 4 starters down in this game. So this is probably Green Bay at home. But, you know, you can never count out C.J. Stroud with Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon. And, you know, they still have enough to hang in there. But that game and that Minnesota-Detroit game at 1, 2 really good 1 o'clock games between 4 high-caliber teams. This one should be good, though. Have no idea what the weather's like in Lambeau, if it's going to be cold. It seems like it's been cold, you know, colder than normal Midwest, East Coast here this week. Houston's an indoor, you know, they're indoor girls. So we'll see what happens.
I think I kind of...
I like Green Bay.
What, is this a smell test game or is that just a feel game?
No, just a feel. It's not.
I think I kind of like Houston. Kind of. Just to cover the 2.5. Not to win it, but just to cover that 2.5.
You got to buy that half point if you're going
to
do that.
I might have to. Since you mentioned, we might as well go to the second of the two games. You got the Vikings and the Lions. This one's going to be in Minneapolis at U.S. Bank Stadium. Right now, the Vikings are very short 1.5-point favorite. The Lions have looked really good, but the thing with the Vikings is nobody scores on them. With the exception of Green Bay, nobody scores on the Minnesota Vikings, so this is going to be a very tough test for Detroit.
Here we go. We're going to start getting these NFC North matchups every week for a while, and they are going to be big, important games in that division. Minnesota coming off a bye week. Let's not forget that. Detroit coming off what they did to Dallas was actually incredibly disrespectful and wrong. Loved every minute of it, but I just can't remember the last time a team decided to literally rub another team's nose in it the way Detroit did to Dallas. There's a big difference between the opponent that the Lions just played and the one they're playing Sunday. The one they just played is soft-bellied defensively. I mean bad, too, without two of their players. Minnesota is fresh, and they are so good defensively. This is one of the better defensive NFL teams we've seen in a long time. And you know what? Jared Goff is great when everything's on schedule, when everything's going fine and they got a running game going and they can go play action and they can go bootleg and he can drop back because, you know, teams are worried about getting run on. He's fine. I would not be surprised if Brian Flores and that Minnesota defense rattles Jared Goff Sunday. Now, what does that mean? I mean, will Minnesota be able to score? No Aiden Hutchinson. That's going to be a big deal. I kind of like the Vikings to get to 6-0. I still don't think they're the best team when we get to January in the division. You know, although 6-0 now puts them in a good spot to move forward to end up with a 1 seed and a division title. We're still early. But they've got the easiest on paper schedule. I think this is... Jared Goff has gotten a lot of absolute justified praise the last couple of years. He is a good starting quarterback in the NFL. Let's see what happens Sunday with Brian Flores in that defense. Would not shock me if Jared Goff struggles. The Lions offensively, They're very good. Struggle on the road against that defense, and you end up with some kind of 19-17 kind of a game.
Yeah, the under definitely seems like the play here. I mean, 50.5 on the total for a game with the Vikings.
I didn't look at that. Is it 50.5?
It's 50.5, at least on ESPN's book. That's gargantuan. How about the matchup that we care about the most in terms of our division in the 1 o'clock matchup? You got the Eagles and the Giants. This one's going to be at MetLife Philadelphia, a 3-point favorite.
Is Dexter Lawrence going to play?
I have
apparently
no idea.
He's banged up after last Sunday night. I mean, he is in the running right now for Defensive Player of the Year. I think he leads the NFL, or he's a half sack behind Aiden Hutchinson. Look, without them, Philly wins this game. With him, and if they're healthy on defense, this is going to be a slugfest. The Giants are going to have a chance to win this game. Is Malik Nabers back? I think he is, right?
Dexter Lawrence and Brian Burns have not practiced the last 2 days, yeah, but they will be back at practice today.
Okay, well, Burns and Lawrence play healthy. Giants can win this game outright. Without them, Philadelphia wins. This is, I mean, Burns was outstanding last week, too. And do you get Singletary back and Nabers or not?
I can check. I have no idea about their injury report.
Philly needs to do something that impresses somebody. You know, and I don't even know that a win on the road in the Meadowlands this week would impress anybody. You know, they're a 3-point favorite, 3.5-point favorite, but they gotta show something offensively here. You know, I think it's fair to knock Philly for the start to this season because their coach is such a clown. With that said, they're 3-2, and their two losses came when Saquon Barkley dropped a pass that would have ended the game on Monday Night Football against Atlanta, and they lost at Tampa when they didn't have anybody on offense. No A.J. Brown, no Devontae Smith. They were absolutely shredded injury-wise going into that game. Other than that, they're 3-2. And I know the win last week wasn't impressive over Cleveland, and the win over the Saints actually was in the moment impressive. That Packers win, week one, Brazil, the whole thing, who knows, but they were able to get that. They need this game. They need this game. You know why? They need it to keep pace with the NFC East frontrunner, who will more likely than not be 5-2 at the end of the day. So kind of a desperate spot for Philly. A bounce-back spot off of a win, that sounds crazy, but it was unimpressive last week. But I don't think it'll be easy. I think the Giants are real legit on defense.
Malik Nabers cleared concussion protocol, but he's now listed as questionable with a groin injury. So who knows? All right, the matchup that we're all excited for in the 1 o'clock window, the Dolphins and the Colts. Woo! Joe Flacco in action. I don't believe that Tua is playing, but he might be inching.
Is Flacco starting?
He should be. I can't imagine.
So they're not going back to Anthony Richardson this week.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
But who knows? Like, I'm looking
at the Dolphins. Look, there. I think it's kind of interesting, the conversation about Tua, to a certain degree, Denton. There are a lot of people that have not been big Tua fans, right? I forget. Were you a Tua fan or not?
I was a Tua fan, but I wasn't like a part of the Tuanon by any stretch.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I when people were putting him in like in the top five, top 10 quarterbacks, no, they stink without him. So there is something to be said for Tua's value being totally realized with him being out, because with him being out, that's a bad offensive football team. A real bad offensive football team. They beat New England last week 15-10. All right, the three games that they had without him, it happened in the Buffalo game, 10 points, 3 points, 12 points, and then 15 in a win. They can't score without him. They can't move the football without him. So I would certainly think that if, you know, Indy plays Flacco, that the Colts win this game.
It doesn't look like Tua's coming back yet, although who knows? That could change between now and Sunday. All right, into the late window we go. We got the Rams and the Raiders. The 1-4 Rams and the 2-4 Raiders now without Devontae Adams, but the Rams are 7-point favorites to get it done in this one.
I think they're getting a little bit healthier, maybe. You know, they're one of those teams that, you know, had big aspirations, big, you know, hopes before the season started. They're 1-4, and every loss except for that, you know, when they got blown out, when they had nobody literally in week two at Arizona, every loss has been a winnable game. So we'll see what happens. They're home against the Raiders. Then I think they're Thursday night. I think next week's Thursday night game is against the Vikings out at SoFi. There will be a ton of Minnesota fans in the crowd. I don't know how to feel about the Raiders right now. You know, they're going to go with Aiden O'Connell, I'm assuming, again this week.
Yeah, I believe so. They stink. They don't have a quarterback.
I mean, they gave up 32 points to the Steelers, a team that struggles to score. They, you know, gave up nearly 200 yards on the ground. So I guess I like the Rams.
Skipping over our game because we've talked a lot about them. You got the Chiefs, the Niners, the rematch of the Super Bowl. The Chiefs 5-0, the Niners at 3-3. They've gotten healthy, and the Niners are 2-point favorite over the unbeaten Kansas City Chiefs at 425 on Fox.
Remember the last time the Chiefs went into San Francisco? I think it was McCaffrey's first game as a San Francisco 49er, and it was just a shootout. The Chiefs ended up winning that game. It's really hard to pick against the Chiefs. They just figure out a way, but I'm going to do it this week. I think San Francisco wins at home Sunday. I think the Chiefs have not really been super explosive offensively. And I think the 49ers, you know, looked good, and they're the, you know, both teams are rested. But I think this is a spot for San Francisco to get a little bit of revenge for the Super Bowl overtime loss. I like the 49ers.
I respect your optimism. I would take the Chiefs in this one. If you're giving me Mahomes as an underdog, I'm going to take Mahomes as an underdog. And then the final game on the Sunday slate, you got the Jets, you got the Steelers. It's in Pittsburgh. It's Sunday Night Football. It should be the first time we see Davante Adams in a New York Jets uniform. Probably won't see a ton of snaps, but I can't imagine he doesn't play this weekend.
This is a huge game for the Steelers, for the Jets. And the Steelers, are they going to start Russell Wilson? Are we going to see Russ?
We might see
both of them.
I don't think we'll officially get that nod until either later today or tomorrow.
I think we might see both of them, Denton. That's a possibility. because I think for the opener against Atlanta, remember when Russ got hurt, the plan was to play Justin Fields in some packages. I think that's what Arthur Smith was planning back when Russ was healthy. I don't know why anybody would expect Pittsburgh to be more explosive with Russell Wilson, a quarterback. If I were a Steelers fan, I'm 4-2. We just had one of our better offensive days. They're running the football. The Jets have actually not been good against the run. They weren't good against the run last week. They weren't good against the run week one, right? The 49ers ran all over them. I'd keep Justin Fields in there, but this is a big spot for the Jets. They need this one. That was a heartbreaker Monday night. I thought they looked good Monday night throwing the football. I thought Rodgers looked really good. With Adams, I expect them to be a better team. I think this is going to work out for them long term, but this is the best defensive team they faced. This will be a great game Sunday night. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be. I'm expecting a big offensive performance from the Jets. And I think Garrett Wilson's in for a big one. I think there's going to be so much attention on Davante Adams, and Garrett Wilson's really going to pop off.
I think Breece Hall, I think everybody's going to benefit significantly from Davante Adams being on the field. He is still an elite wide receiver, and he's the guy that the quarterback can trust. I don't think he's built enough trust up in his other receivers. You're starting to see it with Garrett Wilson, but he threw what should have been the game-winning touchdown pass to Garrett Wilson. He took a big hit, still should have held on to it, and the ball was, you know, knocked out of his hands, and that was, you know, they then kicked a field goal and missed the field goal on the next play. All right, smell test next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com. Yeah, hasn't been too good. 4 games under 500, 8-11 last week. I did pull via Twitter, so follow me on Twitter at Kevin Sheehan DC. I pulled the Titans pick before the 1 o'clock games kicked off. It's a good thing I did because I would have been even worse last week. But once they decided on Flacco instead of Richardson, I dropped that pick. But good college last week, terrible NFL on one of the worst Sundays in the history of sports betting for sports books. The bloodbath was tweeted out by every sports book legal and illegal all over the world early in the week last week. They really needed the Jets on Monday night, but that didn't happen. Usually they bounce back, but it's not always the next week, especially when they had some big weeks in the NFL through the first 5 weeks of the season. But four games below 500, it is a long game deal here, boys and girls. Let's start in college football, and we will start with two games for tonight, Denton. Florida State's getting three at Duke. Duke has been the better team. They're 5-1. Florida State's 1-5. Duke's never beaten Florida State. They feel like this is the opportunity to do just that. They lost in their last outing. I actually had Georgia Tech laying 9.5 in that game, and they won by 10. So that was 2 weeks ago. They've had time to get ready for this one. I thought Florida State played better in their last game against Clemson. And, you know, they won a game a few weeks ago against Cal. They just really struggle to score. That's their issue, even with that backup quarterback. But the public's on Duke. I'll take Florida State tonight plus the three. The public's really backing BYU tonight. BYU's undefeated. They're 6-0. And really, since week two, or since 2 weeks ago against Baylor, they've really looked good offensively. This is a good BYU team, an explosive BYU team. They crushed Arizona last week. That was one of my college losses. I'm going against them again with a team that really has struggled to score against West Virginia, Kansas State, Utah in recent weeks. The line's 10 tonight. I'll take Oklahoma State and the points against BYU. Let's go to tomorrow. Auburn's on the road against Missouri. Missouri coming off a win over UMass. I don't know how that game gets scheduled, Denton. It was at UMass. They lost their last SEC game to Texas A&M. I like Auburn plus the 4 points. Louisville's getting a short number against undefeated Miami. I'll take the Cards at home plus the 5. Baylor is getting 6 at Texas Tech. Texas Tech is undefeated in the Big 12. I'll take Baylor plus the 6. LSU, I had last week in that big game on Saturday night against Ole Miss, got the win. 2 weeks ago, I had Arkansas against Tennessee when they won. LSU let down. I think they're going to lose this game outright. Arkansas plus the 3 against LSU. Iowa State and Iowa are both favored this weekend, both on a roll. Iowa State undefeated. They're giving 13.5 to UCF at home. I'll buy the half point and take UCF plus the 14. Michigan State is a major sharp play for some reason this week, getting 5.5 at home in East Lansing against Iowa. I'll take Sparty plus the 5.5 there. And then I had West Virginia last week. It didn't work out. I'll take West Virginia by the half point plus 3 in Morgantown against Kansas State. Let's go to Sunday games. All right. There are, man, when you get beat up like I got beat up last week in the NFL, I mean, I'm experienced with this. I've taken beatings before. 1-7 in the NFL last week. I am still up for the season on my NFL picks, but 1-7. So what do? You got to come back and you got to just slam your fist down harder on the table and say, I believe in what I'm doing. It'll all work out. Let's go with just the biggest anti-public sides of the day. And we'll start in Buffalo, where Tennessee's getting 9 against the Bills. Nobody in their right mind will have the Titans plus the 9. I can't figure out how they'll do it, but somehow they cover this game. And these 9-point favorites, these big favorites, they lose outright a lot in the NFL. I'm not predicting that this week. You know, if you want to go ahead and tease games, which I don't recommend, I think you'll still get it done with Buffalo in a teaser, but I'm going to take Tennessee plus 9 as the biggest anti-public side on the card Sunday. The second biggest anti-public side on the board, the New York Football Giants plus 3 at home against the Eagles. Public lined up on Philly. I don't think the public understands how good the Giants are defensively. I'm convinced that they don't get it yet. The Giants are not great offensively. I will give you that. They can run the football a little bit with their quarterback and with either Tracy or Singletary. This is a game that comes down to a field goal either way, I'm guessing. I'll take the Giants plus the three. If they lose by three, it's a push. And then we have, unfortunately, or fortunately, because I've not been doing well in the NFL or didn't last week, the Carolina Panthers plus eight. These are the three sides. The Titans, the Giants, and the Panthers are the three big needs for sports books on Sunday. I've already spelled out how Carolina keeps this game close. Washington's defense stinks, especially against the run, and Carolina can run the football. And if they keep it and they possess it and they keep Jaden off the field, you got a 27-20 kind of game. And Carolina covers. Washington wins. That's what I see happening. I think Washington's going to struggle again against the run. Now, you know, I'm 1-2 on Skins games this year. 64% coming into this year, all time on smell test picks involving Washington, either as the pick or the opponent as the pick. I'm going with the opponent. I got Carolina plus the eight in that one. That's it. There's a chance I might have the Cardinals on Monday night. I'll let you know on Monday. So, recapping. Florida State plus three, Oklahoma State plus 10 tonight. Tomorrow, Auburn plus four, Louisville plus five, Baylor plus six, Arkansas plus three, UCF plus 14, Michigan State plus 5.5, and West Virginia plus three. And then on Sunday, it is the Titans plus nine, the Giants plus three, and the Panthers plus eight. There you go. Your picks for week eight in college, week seven in the NFL. When we come back, Denton will do a quick college preview, which will include right now to date the game of the year with Georgia and Texas tomorrow night. Talk a little bit about the Terps tomorrow with their first ever visit from conference foe USC. And we'll have our Washington Carolina final score predictions with footnotes. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. Daryl Green right there on that last offensive play, fourth down at the Washington 7-yard line in the 1987 NFC title game played at RFK between the Redskins and the Vikings. Both of those teams had pulled off upsets the week before. Daryl Green's punt return the week before had beaten the Bears. The Vikings had shocked the 49ers. That meant Washington got the home field in the NFC title game, and Daryl Green right there to break up the pass from Wade Wilson to Darren Nelson, and Washington was off to Super Bowl 22. Daryl Green, jersey retired Sunday. We've been playing his memorable career plays all morning long. In order, probably, well, number one's the punt return in Chicago. Number two's probably that play. Because it meant a Super Bowl trip for Washington. And then number three, I would probably put as the night that he debuted in 1983, his first game as a Washington Redskin rookie, first-round pick, Texas A&I, when he chased down Tony Dorsett. What a career. 20 years, same team. I don't think you'll ever see that again. I don't know. Maybe Jaden Daniels is in year one of 20 straight in D.C. What a career. What an absolute legend. I said this earlier, and I've gotten a lot of tweets from some of you pushing for other players to be on the Mount Rushmore. My Mount Rushmore of Redskins players: Sammy Boss, Sonny Jurgensen, Daryl Green, and John Riggins. Those four. And I think the next jersey that should be retired this time next year should be Riggo's. If it can, the three that have to get retired still are Charlie Taylor, Art Monk, and Riggo. I'd love to see Riggo's. I think in terms of stature, he would be next on the list. All right, let's talk some college football, Denton.
Pick up your book bags. Grab your notebooks. It's time to go on campus with Denton.
Hey, give me my theme music.
All right, we got some big ones this weekend.
Yeah, we got a couple of big ones. We'll start with the mid-window game, the 3:30 kick. You got Alabama, you got Tennessee. This one's going to be in Neyland Stadium in Knoxville. Not quite as much hype as I would have anticipated a couple of weeks ago. That's thanks to, in part, that Bama hasn't looked spectacular in the past 2 weeks. Tennessee hasn't looked spectacular in the past 2 weeks, but it's a rivalry game nonetheless. Bama's a 3-point favorite. This is a gotta-have-it game for both of these teams, which I think adds another level of excitement to it.
Yeah, you nailed it. Like, this game 3 weeks ago looked like this was going to be as big, if not bigger, than Georgia-Texas. But, you know, Bama went and lost to Vanderbilt, and then they were lucky to survive South Carolina at home. Tennessee, who was just rolling early in the season, now has found it difficult to score with that explosive offense. They, you know, beat Oklahoma, it's not a good Oklahoma team this year. They lost on the road to Arkansas when Arkansas lost their starting quarterback in the second half. And they were in a tussle with a Florida team that's not very good, going to overtime with them last week. I'm looking forward to watching this game, Denton. I don't know how to pick this game. I don't feel it either way from sort of a handicapping standpoint. Do you?
No, I don't, because I still don't really know what Tennessee is. Like, at least with Alabama, I have a pretty good idea of what they are. They have a quarterback that's sporadic, and they're bad on defense. Yet they find ways to win. They're not good. Like, their defense is, it makes you, I don't have hair, but it makes me want to claw my hair out if I did have it. The thing about Tennessee, though, is, like, there is still a reason to be optimistic about their quarterback situation, but we're now six games into the season, kind of waiting for this big aha moment.
He holds it too long, man.
I don't think he sees it.
He doesn't see it.
Like, I don't think he sees it, and he needs to. I think, like, Josh Heupel needs to, at some point, the head coach of Tennessee, sit down with Nico Y and say, "Dude, just sling it. Like, if you turn the football over, we will kind of deal with it from there. But you have to just go out there and sling it, especially against his defense. Like, Alabama will present them opportunities to score, but Nico has to take advantage of it. So I think I'm leaning Alabama. But it would not surprise me if you finally get that light bulb moment and this Tennessee offense looks as good as we thought they were a couple weeks ago.
I want to mention one other quick thing. I don't think Jalen Milroe is anywhere near a first-round pick in the NFL
not at all
next year.
No, I mean, not at all.
And he's got a year left, right?
He should stay. He should get another year with Kalen DeBoer. I think by the end of the year, you'll start to have way more confidence in him.
Yeah.
But he needs another year. If his dream is to really be a great quarterback in the NFL, you need another year. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're getting paid to be there in college.
Yeah.
You're not going to find worse places to be at in Tuscaloosa for college football. Stay another year. He needs another year.
I mean, at this point, I mean, he is a day two pick at best if he's out next year. So stay at Bama. All right. What else?
There's another big matchup in the 3:30 window that I think is flying a little bit under the radar. You got Michigan going on the road to Illinois. Michigan's the 24th ranked team. They're 4-2. Illinois is the 22nd ranked team. They're 5-1.
I know, and I think they almost lost to Purdue last week.
I know. The last week was very, very bad. But if you're 6-1, for Illinois, they have a game next week against Oregon. So getting Michigan and Oregon in back-to-back weeks is exceptionally tough, and that's going to be in Eugene. But after that, they got Minnesota, Michigan State, Rutgers, and Northwestern. They could end up being like a two-loss team in the Big Ten Conference if they beat Michigan. And, I mean, that's one of the benefits of the expanded college football playoff. If this was just a four-team playoff, this game doesn't really mean much. But now, because it is a 12-team playoff, it means something for both teams, because Michigan is still very much alive in the playoff if they win this weekend. Now, their schedule the rest of the way is, I mean, their schedule's tough. They got Oregon, they got Indiana, they got Ohio State.
I agree with you. Like, this is a good game, but neither one of these two teams is going to be a playoff team. Neither one of these two teams is going to play in
the
Big Ten title game.
No, they should. They should not. But it is possible. The door is still very much open for Illinois.
Illinois doesn't play Indiana, right?
No, they do not play Indiana, but they do play Oregon.
By the way, before you get to Georgia, Texas, the game that's interesting to me in the 3:30 window, Notre Dame goes to Atlanta to face Georgia Tech. By the way, that game's in the it's not at
Mercedes
Georgia Tech,
Benz.
It's in the Mercedes-Benz
stadium.
Georgia Tech is a decent team. Like, they have two losses. They lost that game to Syracuse, remember, on the road earlier in the season. They were right there with Louisville on the road. We saw them obviously in the first game of the year in Dublin beat Florida State. It seemed impressive at the time. It wasn't. But Notre Dame is rolling right now. Notre Dame, by the way, already next week. Have you seen the look ahead line for the Navy game next week?
It's a big one. It's
17.
A massive one. Yeah.
So this is, you know, Notre Dame has been beating up on people. It's going to be interesting to see what they do the rest of the year, because they get Navy and Army. You know, for those of you that are wondering why I'm focused on Navy Notre Dame or even Army Notre Dame, both of those two teams are ranked and undefeated. Army and Navy are. By the way, I almost gave out East Carolina against Army, but I decided to pass on that. But big game for Notre Dame to keep the momentum rolling, because they are definitely a playoff possibility, if not likely playoff team, given what they have, because I think they're better than Navy and Army.
Yeah, I think they are too. All right, here's the big one. The big one is Georgia and Texas. Yeah. 7:30, it's in Austin. The line has maneuvered quite a bit this week.
A lot
week.
Of sharp money on Texas.
A lot really. Of sharp money, and now it's 4.5 at some books. You
they're
might
gonna
be
buy
able
it
to
back. You watch this, Denton. I was talking about this with a friend of mine earlier this week. So they opened at like 2.5, 3. Line went to 5. The sharps bet Texas early at, you know, that 2.5, 3 number. And I think they're waiting for that number. You said it's back to 4.5. Is it now?
I see it 4.5 on the ESPN book, and okay. I'm pulling up FanDuel.
My offshore friends said this is going to be a game where you get a lot of people that hope that gets to 5.5, 6, and then they're going to bang it back the other way and have a pretty sizable middle between, say, 2.5 and 3 and maybe 5.5, 6. But if it's already coming back, we'll see it. Let me just tell you, I do not like a side in this game either way. I think Texas is the better team. I do. But I think Georgia has found something with Carson Beck these last few games, starting with, you know, the Alabama second half and the comeback. And they're a much better offensive team here over the last 2.5 games than they were before. So just looking forward to watching it. I do not like a side either way. If you force me to play it, I'd say Texas at home in Austin. But man, for a longtime SEC people, that'll be painful. If they come in and win this SEC in the first year, right?
It'd be so great. I loved Texas at like 2.5. I don't know if I love them necessarily at 4.5, so I might have to wait for that to get sent the other way. Texas is the best team in college football as far as I'm concerned, and I think bringing Quinn Ewers back last week was incredibly smart, so you will not have that rust to shake off this weekend. I like Texas in this one. I think they're going to beat Georgia. I think they're going to be 7-0. I'm not a Carson Beck guy. I'm just not. Cool tattoos.
He's really
started
to impress me a lot more. Look,
they haven't played anybody.
What he did against Bama when they were down all those points.
No, it was impressive, but we also now have so much more information about Bama's defense not being very good. And, like, he beat Auburn and Mississippi State. And, like, I think Carson Beck is a fine quarterback, but I don't think he is a top quarterback in college football.
Real quickly, Maryland welcomes USC for the first time ever to College Park now that they're a conference opponent. I'm not. Because there's just too much good college football on TV. But I wish my Terps the best. Here's the problem. Maryland's been torched by much lesser offensive passing attacks, and Miller Moss and company can get it done. I think this ends up being a shootout. I see like literally like 38-31, you know, one way or the other. I think Maryland's got a shot to win it. I like Miller Moss. He didn't get it done last week. All right, real quickly, let's finish up with our predictions on Sunday. I'll go first. I've kind of already spelled it out. I see a game in which we are back here Monday concerned about the defense once again. Carolina moves the ball. They shorten the game. They're in the game. But it's too much Jaden Daniels, too much Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Ekeler on the ground. And Washington wins 27-20. They win the game. They don't cover. The footnote is Brian Robinson Jr. comes back, and he rushes for a buck 20 and a touchdown.
I am slightly different of opinion there. I don't think the defense will be looked at as near as much of a liability when we're here on Monday. I like Washington 31-17. And my footnote is, and I'm going to keep saying this until it finally pays off in my pockets, I think we get a Luke McCaffrey touchdown. I think we finally get some Luke McCaffrey action. I think Jaden has a connection with him this weekend, and I think he finds the end zone at least once.
Here's the bottom line. We both got him 5-2 when we get back here on Monday, and then we will have a buildup for a rather big game a week from Sunday against the Bears. All right, that's it for the day. Enjoy the football weekend. It'll be a good one. Back on Monday.